wrapping a letter that we got, an email I received from Pastor Sergey in Moscow, Russia. Hi, Pastor Sherry. Yes, we received the money. Thank you so much. Please forgive me that I didn't write to you. Thank you so much for your support and trusting us. We had sent some money as a church to our little mission, Living Faith, in Moscow, Russia, and I didn't hear from them, and I didn't hear from them. And you know how sending money to a foreign country, you want to be sure that they got it. Well, he'd been on vacation, so anyway, I was really excited to receive this letter. We also asked you to pray for them because they were having a terrible time finding a church building. We have a praise report. We found a place for Sunday services. Today will be our first service in the new place. We praise God for that and thank you for your prayers. We believe and trust God for buying our own building in the future. Amen. We're thrilled with them. When they come over, next time they come to the States, we'll be sure and have them come and share with us. I also want to remind you the Bible reading slips are out for the month of June. We're going to have pink flowers in June, so I put it on pink paper, right? Roses and pretty flowers. I want to take a couple minutes to say thank you to Pastor Kevin for faithfully teaching us from the Word of God for the last few years. I totally enjoy his preaching, and I love the Word of God. And so give me the major prophets, give me the minor prophets, give me the relational books like the Timothys and Peters and John and Jude. And so he takes us where? 2 years ago, or over 2 years ago now, straight to the Gospels. I like the Gospels, but he takes us to Luke. Well, if you're going to go to that, it's all right. But you know what? I totally enjoyed all those messages on Luke, and I experienced Jesus in a whole new way listening to him, especially as he brought all the historic background to the Gospels. It was great. It was great. So then the next book he chooses is the book of Acts. I've always liked it just a tad more than the book of Job. I always saw it just as a travel log. Well, after 62 messages in the book of Acts, I found it profound, interesting, fantastic, prophetic, convicting, encouraging, challenging, and so relational. I feel that I've grown to love Paul more as I've seen him go through his trials. And I've grown to love him more because he's such a relational person. He cared so much for the converts in every single town, for his disciples and those he fellowshipped with. I've grown to love him more and respect his walk in the Lord more and more. It's deepened me in my walk with the Lord. However, Pastor Kevin, if you go to the book of Job next, I'm going to take a sabbatical. No, I really won't. I really won't. Anyway, God wanted me in those books because I've kind of, though I've read through them every year for, oh man, I don't know how many years, I go through them fast, I guess. And they haven't touched me, but they really have. So thank you for opening them to me and to all of us as a congregation. So how does God reveal himself to us from the very first sentence in the Bible? Let's turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis 1. What does he want us to know about him? This is his story. What does he want us, the readers, to really know about him? In the beginning, Genesis 1, God created. The word for God, the Hebrew word he uses to describe himself in this verse, is Elohim, the supreme God. So right from the get-go, he wants us to know he is supreme. Those are the first words. He is supreme. And then he wanted us to know that he was a creator. What does it mean? Bara. It means he makes things. He brings it together. He is the creator, and he was first, and he's the creator, and no one else is the creator. So he makes that clear to us. Then in verses 1 through 25, you can just kind of let your eye go down these verses. He tells us what he's thinking. Not only is he God and he's creator, but he wants us to know what he's thinking. And he says over and over again, I saw and it was good. Take a look at verse 10. See where it says in verse 10? Then drop your eyes to verse 12. He says it again. He repeats it in 18 and 21 and 25 and 31. He wanted us to know he liked what he'd done. He liked what he'd accomplished. This is telling us something about him. Genesis 2:2, if you want, let your eyes go there, shows us he worked and then he rested. That quality might be relevant for some of us. Oh, God rests. Interesting. Genesis 2:3 shows us he's a sanctifier and a blesser. He was not a loner. He wanted company. He wanted someone like himself. God wanted company. So he created man in his own image and in his own likeness. Someone like him. He created us to be like him. That warms my heart. It makes me just feel, ooh, I like that. He wanted somebody like him, so he created me. Interesting thought. We need to lift our vision and our thoughts higher. We need to think what he thinks about us and not what we think about us. If we think what we think about us, sometimes it defeats our purpose, doesn't it, huh? We need to have his thoughts in our heart. Then he says in Genesis 2, a man should have a helpmeet for him. He brought the woman to Adam, and they were naked and not ashamed. Ashamed is the word, the Hebrew word bush. And it's a very interesting word. It means to pale, to be disappointed, to be confounded, or to become dry. And what he was saying here is they were naked, but they were not ashamed. They were not disappointed. They were not confounded. And they weren't dry. So in these first few verses, we have learned a lot about God. He is from the beginning. He is. He is a creator. He works, then he rests. He's an evaluator. He looked and evaluated. He looked and saw and it was good. He looked and saw Adam and he said he needs a helpmate for him. He also knew that he wanted company. He's an evaluator and a discerner. He's not a loner. He does not want others of his creation to be alone. He didn't want Adam to be alone. He created them to be free from work, free from struggle, free from shame, and disappointment, and not dry, and free from condemnation. The garden was a place of the absence of sin. How wonderful. No lying, no stealing, no adultery, no drugs, no pain, no pornography. The garden was essentially pain-free, smoke-free, a place of no pressure, a place of no sweat. No antiperspirant was needed in the Garden of Eden. God continues through the Old Testament to reveal himself to his people. The Hebrew translation of the word shown is what he wants us to think about him. In our King James Version and our English versions, it says God. But every time it says God, it's a different Hebrew word. And I want to share some of those Hebrew words with you. And this was the God that surrounded Adam and Eve and the God that surrounds us. Pat, would you put that up? That's Adam and Eve in the center. Jehovah Sitkanu, our righteousness. He is our righteousness. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. All these qualities of God surrounded Adam and Eve, and they had full access to all these qualities of God in the garden. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Jehovah Adonai, my owner or my father. Jehovah Elohim, he is supreme. Jehovah El Shaddai, my nourisher or satisfier. Jehovah Rophi, my healer. Jehovah M. Kadesh, my sanctifier. Jehovah Roy, my shepherd. Jehovah Shammah, he is there. And Jehovah El Elyon, the Most High God. Gracious, what else did they need? What else do we need? Adam and Eve had it all in the garden. They had intimate fellowship with this God. They didn't have to work with weeds, Ralph. They enjoyed and relaxed. They enjoyed God, and they enjoyed their walk with God. Their relationship with God was like this rose. It was in full blossom, and it was fragrant, and it was precious, and it was beautiful. That's their relationship with him, as they stayed in the center of the qualities of God and everything that he had provided for them. Remember, there was no sweat. They weren't dry. They had the fountain of living water with them all the time. He was there. He was with them to help them, to be with them, to comfort them. Ah, how wonderful. What a beautiful picture of relationship with him. Then, what looked so good came along. Came along looking so good. Nice to the touch, to feel, to think on the things that it would do, and it looked so good. However, Satan wasn't so good. See, he had horns, and he came to tempt her. Now, I'm going to put this here because I want you to look at it. His visuals are so good. Now, you sit. Don't fall over. It looked good, it was pleasant to the eyes, and it was going to make her wise, what Satan offered her. So she gave in, and so did Adam. Remember, this wasn't Eve's thing alone. Adam was right there with her. The Bible says that. What did they lose? What did they lose by giving in to this thing that looked so good, but that God said, don't touch? They lost innocence. They lost open fellowship with God. They knew they were naked and no longer covered by God. They went from this to this. They went from this to something closed and tight and hidden and naked. They hid from God, from one another, and they shut down emotionally. They went to a works mentality. Remember, they sewed the leaves together. They tried to cover themselves. They blame shifted. He said, not me. Adam said, it was the woman. It was the snake. They covered themselves with leaves, and today we're still trying to cover our tails. Thus enter lying, boasting, cover-ups, and total self-protective strategies that we use in everyday living. Tragic, and we do carry it on today, to this very day. When we have a problem in relationships and we found ourselves in sin, what do? We close up. We hide. We do anything but face it. We shut down. We try to cover up. We lie. We blame shift. Big time. It's not my fault. It was the other driver. It was this. It was that. And we do what we can to not be seen as a sinner in the situation. We employ self-protective strategies to cover ourselves from others and, truthfully, to cover ourselves from ourselves. We don't want to face up to ourselves that we have transgressed or sinned or done something wrong. Ouchie. We have hidden from relationship, first with God and then with one another. Back to the heart of the Father. What did he do in Adam and Eve's case? God killed an animal. He shed blood, and he covered Adam and Eve. Then for the Israelites, he provided for the killing of animals, for the shedding of blood to cover their sins, the sins of the people. And for us, his heart was to provide the perfect sacrifice. And he did. And his name was Jesus, and is Jesus. Why? It's always good to ask why when we're reading the Bible. Why? The heart of the Abba Father is saying to the entire body of Christ, oh, come, my beloved, come out of hiding. Come to the atoning blood of Jesus that was spilled for your sins. He is saying, the Abba heart of the Father is saying, I want fellowship with you. I have made a way for us to have fellowship one with another, and for you to have fellowship together one with another. But we are deaf, and we can't hear him. Jeremiah 2:13. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Jeremiah 2:13. I want you to just see it in your Bible and mark it. And remember, if you can't mark your Bible, come and see me. I'll buy you a Bible that you can mark in. I've always said that. Some people during the time, the years that I've been preaching, some people have taken me up on that, and I have bought them Bibles. Amen. Good. Story. Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Remember after they sinned, that word ashamed means to be dry? They forsook the fountain of living water right there in the garden, and they became dry. Mm. And hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. How futile. The noise of our broken cisterns is clogging our ears. We are shouting at God by our actions, by what we actually do in life. Hey, look, God, our cisterns look good. They look good. They make us feel good. They give us pleasure. They are keeping us so busy. You know what he says to that? Hogwash. He says he's the fountain of living waters. And broken cisterns, what are they? Are they good for us? I don't think so. Let's go for just a simple list of broken cisterns. Could be TV, could be yards, possibly computers, DVDs, business gain, boats, sports, exercise, whatever it is, something that we focus on more than we focus on God. And the newest one, the very newest one, Satan, you are so darn clever, and you're getting better at it all the time. The newest one is iPods. He hit the jackpot. He's a genius. Now these kids run around with earphones in their ears from these iPods, and it's continual noise and confusion in their head. They never have time to think anymore. Pastor Kev, stand up and tell. I am really upset about this. I am upset about iPods. If they're used correctly, whatever, that's fine. But my grandchildren have them on their heads all the time. They always have it. They always have this stuff coming into their heads. They can't have a clear thought anymore. They don't think anymore. And I'm not the only one in the body of Christ that feels this way. So Cal, I was telling Pastor Cal, I was going on and on about you, blah, 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 blah. And I was on a soapbox. And he says, well, let me tell you a story.
There was an article or an interview on television just a few weeks back with Gloria Nathan. Maybe some of you might have seen it. And she was talking about the fact that they have a family retreat complex, if you will, where the kids and grandkids come to the lake, the families all come together. And she said, because of the new technology, these grandkids kept coming up with these iPods. And what would happen is, no longer was anyone building relationship, enjoying fellowship, playing cousin to cousin, family to family. they had one teenage kid going off into one corner, one teenage kid going off into another corner, listening to their music the whole time, and nobody was relating to anyone. So Gloria, she says, I finally put a stop to the whole thing. So when they come up, they will not listen to their iPods. When they come to the grandparents' place, it is a place of relationship. She might allow them a little bit of time for they can listen to the iPods on their own during other times. But the whole thing she put a stop to because people were no longer relating and building relationship together. So, Gloria.
Amen. Glory, Jesus. Yeah, amen. Amen. And I say the same thing. So, on you. You know, the sad thing is the revelation that I've had, I suppose, is if you hear some of the songs they're listening to, I don't pay too much attention to them. However, Carl and I guess we're just over the hill, getting old. But we have closed captioning our TV all the time now, so we don't have to say to each other, what did he say? What did he say? I didn't get that. What was that last sentence? And then you miss the next sentence because you're, you know, talking about the last one. And I have been appalled as I've seen the closed captioning to the songs just that they put them on the closed captioning, the songs that even go to the ads and that, and you see some of those lyrics, and they're awful. These kids aren't thinking right. They're playing the wrong tapes in their head. They're filling their minds with, not with truth, not with God's absolutes, but their or God's love. They're filling their minds with Satan's thoughts, yeah. Not with God's thoughts. The inspiration for this message really came from Pastor Kev's message from last week. He asked a question. He said, are you 20 years deeper in the Spirit than you were 20 years ago? And I don't know, that just came like a sword right through my heart. I thought, my gosh, could I be deeper yet than I am? Could I have walked closer to Jesus? And I was smitten. I had to repent. What has taken the time away from my being richer in the Spirit, even in the last year? And why am I not spending more time with Jesus? And I thought of just one instance, and this was a true confession, and I confessed it Thursday night to the group that was there Thursday night. And I thought, I'm going to use it for an example because I love Jesus and I want to change. And I want you to change and maybe you can identify it with it in some way. I saw my need for deep repentance because I saw TV takes time. The time I spent on TV in the last, is it 6 or 8 years? Do you know how long it was? 4 or 5 years? 4 or 5 years since Alias came on. I have watched Alias. Ouchie. I watched almost every episode of Alias. And I justified it in a way because my whole family watched Alias. And I could talk to my granddaughter because she watched Alias. So I watched it. I watched it because Jennifer was cute. She was kind of cute. Jennifer Garner was a cute girl. I loved her smile. But more than that, I loved her relationship with her father that the program portrayed. It touched my soul, and it got me hooked to the program. Because of a tremendous emptiness in my own soul because of the loss of my father. When he died, it left a huge gap in my soul. I adored my father. I absolutely adored him. Carl will witness to that. After his death, God told me that he would be my Abba Father, my daddy, my dear daddy. But for the last 5 years, during the Alias season, I have run to a program to live vicariously in that father-daughter relationship, to a broken cistern, not to the fountain of living water. How much deeper would I be in Jesus if for the last 5 years I had taken that set aside 1 hour apart to let Father God minister to me as his daughter? Not even read the word, just worship and praise him and adore him and see what he might say to me. Just sit in his presence. How much richer, how much deeper in the spirit would I be? It's just an example. And God's heart breaks because he wants me to live not in a vicarious relationship. He wants me to live in the reality of relationship with him, pressing into that relationship with my whole heart, soul, and mind, not to a broken cistern or a TV thing. So Pastor Kev, thank you. Thank you for helping me to realize the importance, bringing by your message into conviction, that I might press into deepening my relationship with my Abba Father. So that's my story. What's yours? What's on your list? What has captured your heart and kept you from spending time with him, quality time with him? Whether it's a daily activity, a weekly activity, what are you giving your life, your energy, your time, your focus time to? Let me meddle for just a minute. How much time did you spend in front of a computer screen this week? Did that time make you richer in relationship with Jesus? Do you know him better because of the time you spent on the computer? Did you have imparted to you who you are in him by spending time on the computer so that you can live more victoriously, more gloriously for him? You can make your own list and see what's keeping you from Jesus. Fellowship with him is so sweet. It is so precious to spend time with him. And we need to encourage each other and tell each other when we do and when it's good. We need to share so the other person is encouraged in our fellowship together. And you know, the Bible says that in the last days, this is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be coming together on an informal basis as well as in a church setting to share with one another the good things that God is doing for us and just to share about his character and how much we love him. He has so much to reveal to us, so much to give to us, to just sit in his presence and do absolutely nothing but to admire him. Do yourself a favor. Admire him. Let him woo you to himself. Focus on him. Focus on growing deeper in him, growing richer in the spirit. Remember from the first book, from Genesis, the Father's heart, for his whole purpose in redemption is that he wanted us to be able to fellowship with him. That's what it's all about. Adam and Eve messed it up. They really did. They got themselves out of there. They messed it up, and they ended up ashamed. But because of Jesus' blood, we can get right back in the center of that circle, and we can enjoy everything that God has for us. He doesn't want us pressured. He wants our company. He wants us to enjoy everything that he's provided for us. The kingdom's ours. He didn't create it just for the birds and the fishes and the flies, for heaven's sakes. He created the kingdom for his pleasure and for us. And most of us, most of all, he created us for his pleasure. Wow, wow. Will we bless him? Will we be with him? There's nothing better, and it would thrill his heart this very morning, if you would come up here and kneel down and tell him that you want to fellowship him more, you want to get closer to him, you want to spend time in his presence, you want to enjoy him and his kingdom, and you are willing to let him enjoy you. You are willing to give him some time. So So as we end, I want to end this by your having time with Jesus. Come up, kneel at these chairs, and just have some precious time with Him, sharing your heart with Him. We don't do this often, but come this morning. Come this morning and have some special prayer with Him. Amen.